This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook. Better odds and favorable prices.
A big zoo knows the beats.
You can add more nature.
All right, TK and Tierney inside the Town Fair Tire Studio. 11:01, and this is a treat. It's not quite baseball season, and these dopes better get their act together in time to make sure that there is a baseball season. But obviously, our next guest is as revered as anybody in the city. Great captain, great champion. Best fielding first baseman of all time, with all due respect to my boy Mattingly. Keith was better. That is Keith Hernandez, number 17, finally getting retired and a great broadcaster as well. The guys on SNY do a great job. Keith, Tiki, and Tierney, welcome to our show for the first time. How are you today, buddy?
I am very good. Thank you. It's off season. I'm relaxing and getting recharged and hopefully ready for a new season.
Yeah, no, that's good. We hope that it happens and relatively soon. The extended lockout is not something anybody's excited about. Keith, the jersey retirement, we know, is obviously, it was big news as a couple weeks ago, I should say. Did you lobby for that? Like, how did that come about?
No, I did not lobby for it, Tiki.
Come on, Tiki. I just wanted to know to the guy.
Why did it take so long then? I mean, why happened? Why now? Is it Stevie Cohen? Like, how did this happen?
Yes, Stevie Cohen.
I think, you know, actually, if you look at it, the timing's perfect. Sometimes a lot of things are worth waiting for. Mm. And here we are on the 60th anniversary of the Mets, which is going to be a special year in Met history, a celebration. You're going to have the unveiling of Tom Seaver's statue in the middle of the season. And now I'm going to be part of it as well. It's part of the 60th anniversary of the Mets. And I think it's just perfect timing.
It is. You know, Keith, I was, and I remember seeing this, even though I'm a Yankee fan, my dad's an old Dodger fan, big Met fan. So I used to watch, you know, the Mets on Channel 9, and obviously still do on SNY doing my job. Cotter's Corner, the whole spiel. And I remember those bad Met teams before he came over. And I was telling Keith, Tiki, I said, Keith Hernandez at first base, there was this one play that I remember seeing live, and it was on the turf, and for, you know, you had the Stones to basically come up an inch from home plate and field the bunt, and Gary Carter was playing third, and you unleash a P, and then Tim Tuffle from Carter's zip across the diamond was really one of the sickest plays I've ever seen. Where did you get your defensive instincts from? I've always wondered about that. Had to be born with it a bit, no?
Well, my dad played minor league ball and was quite a first baseman, left-hander. And so he taught my brother and I at a very early age when we first started picking a baseball up, and then, what, 6, 7 years old. And as the years progressed through Little League, he taught us how to play the bag. So, and how to play it aggressively. So a lot of the credit goes to my father. Mm-hmm. That particular play right there was in Cincinnati.
Yes.
And it was in extra innings, I believe, or it did go extra innings, but we wound up winning that game. And that's the game that Davey put Roger McDowell out in right field and Jesse and switched them back and forth. Jesse made the last out in that game. But obviously that was a big out in that ball game. I always felt that if we didn't get the lead runner, then we didn't succeed. And so I was always aggressively charging. And it was a rookie pitcher.
Okay.
It was Pete Rose, was the manager. What's he going to do? See me down his throat and he's going to swing the bat? I don't do that.
I love it. We're talking to Keith Hernandez with us.
Wait. Pete was at the plate? He was.
No.
He was the manager.
Oh, I got you. I thought you were saying that was the manager. He was the manager.
That kid was just called up, and he was not going to go against the manager's orders.
Yeah. That is for sure. Oh,
wait, so did you contemplate that in real time?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
that's amazing.
That's above the
expectations. It's the next level, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and I was a rookie once, and the manager said take, I wasn't going to swing.
Yeah.
You didn't do it back then. And some of these kids today, it's 3-0, they're swinging from the heels, unfortunately. So we're talking to Keith Hernandez. You know, I've always been curious about this, and there's certain hitters and, you know, the Carews, the Boggs, the Ichiros, the Mattinglys before his back went out, the George Bretts, guys like that. And I put you in that category in terms of, obviously, the great Tony Gwynn, like great hand-eye coordination, impeccable knowledge of the strike zone, an intellect, almost like a sixth sense that not every hitter has. And I always wondered, Keith, if, because I heard this about both Boggs and Ichiro, if you would have sacrificed average and on-base percentage, could you have been a 30-home run guy and hit 240 or 250? Did you have that kind of power if you wanted to be a totally different hitter?
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to be a 240 hitter. Hmm. Even though today 240 hitters get paid around $5 million a year. I could have hit 20, 25, not 30. The ballparks were bigger back then. Hmm. And it would have sacrificed average, and I don't think I would have been as good a clutch hitter. And I had all that power behind me. Mm-hmm. I had Darryl, Carter, McReynolds, guys that hit 20-plus home runs. Darryl hit over 30, and Carter hit over 30. So I was in the third hole in front of them. And the third position is always your best average hitter and a clutch hitter and also a guy that gets on base. Mm-hmm. If anything I could have done differently, and then, you know, sabermetrics loves me because I walked and my on-base percentage, is I could have maybe not walked as much. And maybe I would have had a chance for 3,000 hits. Mm. Closer.
Yeah.
But I walked, you know, 90 times a year, 100 times a year. All my cleanup hitters behind me drove in 100 runs over most of my career. And I scored all 90-plus runs most of my career. So that would be the one thing I would do differently. And I was stubborn, too. I was taught by my father to hit line drives. And I was always afraid that if I started altering my swing – and swinging up a little bit, that would get me in a bad habit and would affect my performance. And so I had the guys behind me. My job was to be the clutch hitter. You didn't want to have me up where a double or a single could beat you late in the ball
game. That's true.
That's right. It's also why you had led the league in 79 and 80 with runs scored, right? You get on base and you get knocked around. You mentioned it and kind of toss it off a little bit, the 3,000 hit thing. Do you think back about that? Like, do you count every hit you could have had that could have got you there?
Well, I think, you know, I went through the longest strike at that point in professional sports history where it was 81. So I was a lot of the season was missed there. So mm-hmm. I missed a lot of hits there. It was lockouts. It was a second strike. It was a short-lived strike. But I certainly lost around, I would say, 100 games that, you know, that would have added on to my total. You know, it's neither here nor there. And I'm happy with my career. Everybody, Tiki, you probably feel you could have done things differently and been better.
Yeah.
I think every athlete feels that way.
Oh, yeah.
When you look back retrospect, and you go, you know, you're right. You're in the moment when you're playing and, you know, you just stay focused on what got you there and what you're successful with. And there's just certain things I've been out of the game and I'm still in the game involved in the booth that certain things make sense to me. And I go, gosh, I wish I had tried that. I would have been a better player. But you know, it's gone. I'm happy with my career. And I was very fortunate to play Major League Baseball for 17 years and have 2 world championships.
And the 17's now going up at Citi Field, rightfully so. That's the great Keith Hernandez, by the way. If you guys want to watch this, Keith is on Twitch right now, twitch.com/WFAN. Obviously, SNY, Gary Cohen, Ronnie, and Keith, an amazing, I think the best trio in baseball. I think they're that good. And, you know, you need to weigh in on this, and then we'll get a little current with the Mets and the lockout, et cetera. Keith is with us here on The Fan. As I said, we had a conversation the other day, a little Mattingly Hernandez debate, Keith. I'm sure Haji would vote for Keith, but we need Keith Hernandez to wade into the waters. I know you've got great respect for Donnie, but the whole Mattingly Hernandez debate, let's hear it first person, Keith. Come on.
Well, Donnie was, don't forget, Donnie was younger than me. So he was in the right smack dab in the middle of his prime, and he had some phenomenal. He had Lou Gehrig years. If you look at it. Now, the one thing I'll say in my defense is that if I had played at Yankee Stadium with that short porch, and if I had had a DH, that's the most critical thing, because a pitcher hits ninth, and you know 99% of them are big outs. Whereas in the American League, you have a ninth hitter that is really your second leadoff hitter. Mm. I would have had more RBI opportunities. I think I would have driven in more runs per season, 100 runs a year, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I would have hit more home runs at Yankee Stadium. But Donnie was such a great player. And then let me tell you, Don, no one ever talks about this. They talk about my 11 gold gloves and how I'm the 11 consecutive and how I was they have the most in baseball history for a first baseman. Donnie had 9 and his career was shortened because of his back. And I know that Donnie probably would have had, if he didn't blow his back out, he would have had 12, 13, maybe 14 gold gloves.
Yeah.
All right. Look, so Keith giving respect to number 2-3.
So you're giving the edge to Donnie?
Not feeling that he's not.
Let's just say if you had to pick, you couldn't go wrong.
No, pick yourself. That's all that matters.
Yeah, you were perfect for the Mets, and he was perfect for us.
Keith, the excitement around Steve Cohen, it's obviously been big, and the signings that have already happened are getting Met fans excited. The lockout is obviously dampening it a little bit. But the lockout notwithstanding, you know, how should Met fans be feeling right now?
They should be feeling, I think, wonderful. I think the moves that they made in the offseason, I mean, he spent over $200 million mm-hmm. in 1 week bringing in 4 players, and particularly Scherzer. And I think Scherzer's got a lot in his tank left. He's, what, 38? I think he's got I think with the 3-year deal, that he's got at least 2 years. And with DeGrom, it's a nice 1-2 punch. It'd be interesting to see how they handle them. But they got to go out there every fifth day. That's part of it. And I just feel that I'm very happy, too. And Tierney, you'll be happy about this. I was so happy about Buck getting the job.
Yep.
That was who I wanted. Players want to be led. And I think, Tiki, you can speak to this. They need a strong, in your case, a head coach, and a baseball, a manager. They need someone at the helm that has their respect and admiration, and someone that is tough love and is a demanding head coach. And I think players need that. And I think Buck is the right thing for this team. I think it's what's needed. And I really feel also that Scherzer, if you watch Scherzer, he's very intense. He is a ferocious competitor, even when he's not pitching. And I'm hoping that he brings that tenacity into that clubhouse, that mental toughness, which I think this team needs.
That's an awesome point, man. Yeah. That is a great point. You know, and I want to follow up on DeGrom. It's great Keith Hernandez with us here on Tiki and Tierney, WFAN. Keith, you know, Doc comes up. I'm about 12-ish, you know. And even as a Yankee fan, I mean, that other stadium, obviously Shea, it was like half baseball game, half rock concert when Dwight Gooden, I was insane. But I got to tell you, Keith, I didn't see Tom Seaver with the Mets in his prime, saw him at 83, didn't see Koufax. But for me, as great as Dwight Gooden was he really better than DeGrom when DeGrom is clicked in, fully on and healthy? DeGrom might be the best pitcher I've ever seen.
Well, he's in a level all by himself. There were different pitchers. Doc had the great fastball and the great curveball. And DeGrom has the slider. They both had great command. DeGrom probably has better command than Doc, but the stuff was so good that you could make a slight mistake and not somebody, I don't want to say get away with it, mm-hmm. but still overpower a hitter. That's how good his stuff was. DeGrom's the same way. He can make a mistake. But I've never seen anybody pitch to the corners in the knees and then be able to pitch upstairs, at the letters with right on, just pinpoint and with consistency every start. It was just phenomenal. I mean, he was on such a run last year that it was just fun to watch. I'm going, okay, he's got to have a bad start here. He's got to have a bad start. Man, he's got to really go out there and get his butt kicked by the third inning, and he's got an early shower. And it never happened. Never happened.
Well, yeah. Keith, who do you think – let's put you in the batter's box, even if it wasn't, when you won the MVP, but you're still in your prime. Who do you think would have been the more uncomfortable at bat, Dwight Gooden or Jacob DeGrom?
They both would have been uncomfortable. Those kind of guys, you go up there and you got, I don't want a 7-pitch at bat against Tom Seaver, Dwight Gooden, DeGrom, Don Sutton. I'm talking about Hall of Fame pitchers.
Sure.
And you want to get in and out of that box as fast as possible. They're going to throw you a fastball.
Uh-huh.
I mean, their slider of DeGrom is really a wicked pitch. Dwight's curveball was a wicked pitch. So, but they're going to throw you a fastball and hopefully out over the plate. And if that fastball comes, it's thou shall not pass.
That's right.
Yeah.
Don't foul it back.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to get 0-2 in those guys or 1-2 because then you're in deep trouble.
Long at bats with those guys will do what to you? You're just guessing too much? I mean, because
no, it's not guessing. When you have two strikes, too much guessing in today's game.
Yeah.
But when you got two strikes, you got to look fastball and bear down.
Yeah.
And, it's like the front line, I guess, in football when it's fourth and an inch at the goal line, you got to dig in and bear down.
Yeah. I know that what we're going to do. We all know. We just got to figure it out.
Hey, Teague, fourth and an inch, we're third and nine. Quarterback sneak, same deal, right?
That's right.
Oh, my God. Come on. Oh, my God. I saw that live.
What was that?
Oh, you got to rub it in. We're talking baseball here. Hey, Keith, you obviously have a different perspective than the current players who are dealing with this lockout right now. And, all the things that you're reading or that the owners are going to really bear down and wait and try to force the players to acquiesce to certain things. What's the no compromise position on whatever it may be, whether it's service time or et cetera, that these players are not going to concede on?
I'm not in those meetings. My feeling, it's always been a posturing on both sides. Hmm. It's always 11th hour. I was part of the two strikes. I was locked out twice in spring training in my career. Always got the season done except that one year where they had to split the season. I do think that spring training will probably start late. There'll be push will come to shove here and see who blinks. What I'm concerned about is the people that are negotiating at the top of the union and management. Is that last negotiation, the last CBA, Tony Clark got really kind of criticized about the negotiating job that he did and basically said that he got fleeced and then it wasn't a good deal for the for the players.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that, egos come involved here and okay, it's not going to happen this time and become too rigid. But I think they'll find a happy medium there will be a season. Owners always think now, particularly today with the players making so much money that, can they be united? The strength of the union, any union is unity. And the players have always been, at least when my day, were always very united. And in any negotiation, it's follow the money. It's all about the money. And, but I think they'll get it done. Do you want to kill the golden goose? Please.
No, they can't afford it.
Let's play baseball.
That's what I'm saying.
They can't afford it from a fan standpoint, and they can't afford it from a financial standpoint.
Yeah, forget. I mean, baseball fans are going to be dragged through this too many more times before they say what Julius Randle said to us. Go F yourself.
We don't want another 1994 where they struck the World Series, and that fans were so turned off.
Oh, yeah. God, that year crushed me because that was the year that Mattingly really had a chance to play in the World Series. The Expos were great that year.
Who was managing that ball club?
Of course it was Buck, your boy. Yes. Now I got you, Keith. Let me tell you, on this show, you always have an invitation. I know you guys are busy doing the games. I get it. But listen, we love this, and I really think the audience, our fans, enjoyed this because they love you. SNY team, top notch. Mets should rock this year. Uncle Stevie, good vibes. Things are going. Congrats on the honor. And good having you on the show, Keith. We enjoyed it, buddy.
Good to catch up.
I'll see you in the course of the season anytime you want me.
Call him tomorrow. We'll continue the conversation off. See you later, Keith. And best to Haji. Actually, my first book report was about Keith Hernandez. Because you would think it would have been about Mattingly.
No, it's just baseball. But
Donnie didn't have a book out at that point. It was entitled If at First. And it was pretty thick. I think I wrote it in the second or third grade. Like, it was a fairly aggressive read.
Wow.
Yeah. He was so good. Keith is the kind of player he would not, just the way he was wired, how he viewed the strike zone, and it was a laboratory, and making contact was a badge of honor, hard contact. Mm-hmm. That's why he was good in the clutch. You know, and 240, obviously. But, you know, if Keith wanted to hit 260 and pop out 25 to 30 and really try to pull the ball aggressively, I think he could hit 30, especially at Yankee Stadium, as he said.
He was just disciplined.
Oh, there's no doubt.
It's funny because you listen
pure
to
baseball player.
You listen
right
to
there.
Him talk about it, and it's, you know, how his dad
taught
him how to do these certain things, and he was scared to not do those things once he got to the big leagues.
He's referenced his dad a lot. Yeah. You know, listen to the Met games, you hear that. We got a break here too, but you know, the funny thing is, and I played first base, but usually first base is not a real position of teaching, like. At that age, mm-hmm. you know, eventually maybe a good outfielder maybe moves to first, or the kid who's got good hands at the age of 8, lefty, plays first. But you teach a kid how to play behind the dish, how to properly pitch, bend your back, elbow mechanics, shortstop, obviously. First base is kind of ignored. So for his dad to teach him and his brother.
Well, his dad was a first
baseman. No, I know. I love that. Aggressively, Keith came up in, 73, 72?
Whatever
it was.
He didn't play a lot his first year, but yeah, you're right.
Early 70s, early 70s. So his dad was teaching him how to play first base in the 60s. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awesome. And Keith Hernandez, best defensive first baseman of all time, period. 877-337-6666. Tiki and Tierney up until 2 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.